All right, welcome to episode 3 of the Jimmy Rhodes Show, which for right now is a local podcast mostly meant for our Charlottesville area trail runners with our 50K training program. But one day we'll see. And for today's episode, I'd like to call this "Who the Hell is Jim Hughes?" I can't remember when I first met Jim. I think it was Promised Land training.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. And when you first meet Jim, you may not naturally think ultra runner. No offense, Jim.
No.
You're full of self-deprecating comments. You know, Jim joined our 50K training program in 2021.
Ooh, 2020.
2020. Okay. Well, yeah. I see that your first ultra marathon was Promised Land of 2021. Is that correct, Jim?
It depends how you're going to count. Because if you're going to count things that you do on your own, no.
Okay. This is your first ultra signup that I found, Jim.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so if you're going to go by that, yeah, that's the first ultra that I, you know, actually paid money for and ran.
Oh, perfect. Well, good.
I should actually, the one that's going to show up there, because I did in 2020, when COVID shut everything down.
Yeah.
Aravaipa Strong had a challenge where you
yes.
could do 100-miler over 10 days. I did that. And then I did the Great Virtual Race Across Tennessee right after that.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Gosh, man, that's like a blast from the past right there. Those like that crazy 2020 year. And we actually had started the 50K training program and we're going strong. You know, we usually start in the beginning of January and right around that like early March time, you know, things were starting to get a little more real and heated and we stopped. You know, looking back now, you know, of course, they're like, oh, outside was probably good. But I think then, you know, it was very appropriate to just stop the program and all the races were canceled. So, and then we were all doing these crazy other things. And I thought that was actually a really cool pivot to do the other challenges and things like that. So very cool.
So that is also one of the, other than finishing, other than like actually participating in and finishing the gym, one of my other heights of silly ultra running that I have, probably the only thing, is I was in the top 200 of the Great Virtual Race Across Tennessee the first year it happened.
Wow.
Because I finished in 36 days and averaged like 18 miles a day.
Wow.
And that was walking.
Yeah.
I busted myself doing the Aravaipa Strong thing.
Wow.
And then trying to immediately do 20 miles a day for, and this was walking. It was a
yeah,
run.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, then I will edit that and say Jim joined our 50K training program in 2020, but your first Promised Land was 2021. You finished that, and you have raced the Promised Land 50K every year since then, as well as several other races. Jim, at least on Ultra Signup, you have 10 or 11 finishes. You got to clean up your results and get you got a few Jim Hughes out there. But that includes a finish at the gym, the Garmin Invitational Marathon in 2024, where you have come and volunteered and helped us out a few years. And also that was your first DNF as well, I see, in 2021, the same year you did your first one. I'm very, very honored that the gym could be your first DNF.
Yeah. I'm lazy in terms of driving far away for races. Pounding Creek is not on Ultra Signup, but I like the Pounding Creek Marathon just because it was so close. It was like, I mean, you just wake up and you're like, hey, I just have to drive 20 minutes to get to the start of a race.
Yeah,
That's like the greatest.
Well, our listeners may know Jim now because of your yearly contributions to our 50K training program, where Jim is the guy sending out the emails and helping to organize and lead the weekly training runs. Jim will be at a lot of these runs, proudly holding up the back of the pack, as you like to say.
Yep.
And you know, I wanted to get you on because really, Jim, you embody like one of the things that I really love about ultra running, and that it's really that Anyone can do it. And you don't have to
Oh.
be fast, and you don't have to have a certain body type, and you don't have to have a pedigree of running. You just got to put in a bare minimum of work.
Yeah.
You gotta figure out the eating while running and keep a positive attitude. And you've got this really cool resume to say, and have obviously also been a part of our Cats running community. So Jim Hughes officially, it was a long welcome to the Jimmy Rhodes podcast.
Yeah.
First, Jim, where did you grow up? How old are you, and what do you do for work, really quickly?
Oh, sure. I'm from Southeast Tennessee. So if you know where Charleston, Tennessee is,
No.
it's near Cleveland. And if you don't know where that is, it's near Chattanooga.
There you
So
go.
anyone who knows about it probably has driven between Chattanooga and Knoxville. So
Okay.
Southeast Tennessee. Yeah. And I did absolutely no running. I remember you remember the presidential fitness test?
Yes.
Whenever I had to do those, there was some point where Coach Yates came over to me and was like, "Hey, I'll buy you a Coke if you actually run the damn mile," or whatever it is. He was
Yeah,
trying to
yeah.
encourage me. And like they never told you how to pace yourself, so I just screwed it up as a kid and couldn't run a mile. Ran a mile for the first time in as a undergrad in college. As a senior, it was pretty bad. So anyhow, came to Virginia to grad school, and now I'm a software engineer, and I'm 42. So,
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, and so prior to I'm going to still go to Promised Land because I think the Air Viper and the great race across Tennessee, those are great. And actually the Tennessee one, like that's intense. But let's just say for the sake of, all one big distance all at once.
Yeah.
But yeah, so any prior like running or kind of sports fitness background prior to that, and how did you get into running and stumble your way on the Cats?
So yeah, whenever I was in high school, I lettered in chess, of all things.
Oh, yeah.
So no, I've been historically just overweight, out of shape. And one of the things I said to myself, these are untrue things that I believe, is if I could run a marathon, I'd probably get in shape. And even if I couldn't, if I could run a marathon, that would be cool. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
So even whenever I was thinking about where to go to grad school in 2004, I was like, I saw Charlottesville had a marathon. Never run the Charlottesville marathon. Separate topic, probably never will, because yeah, whatever. So the whenever I came to grad school, I'm like, hey, I should try to get into running shape. Eventually ran a half marathon in 2007, had no plan for what to do next. And that was my biggest mistake. Lesson I learned there is always kind of know what you're going to do next
Yeah.
after an event. I got sick and stopped running and picked it up again in 2019. Lost a bunch of weight. Then I picked up running, hung out with the Charlottesville Track Club for their marathon, half marathon training program, ran Richmond in 2019. And oh, I actually signed up for my first marathon twice because to do that program, I signed up for Richmond. And I'm like, hey, this is going to be great. I saw enough ads, I think, on Facebook of all places for the Pounding Creek Marathon that I'm like, I should obviously do this. It was 3 weeks before. So right out of the gate, I ran two marathons 3 weeks apart.
Fantastic. So you did the Cats. This is no longer because access to the Miller School has been tr problematic after that. But yeah, that's basically an ultra marathon because that was a long marathon trail race. So d when you go back to like in 2009 as well as 2019, it was this just coming from a I am a mortal man and I am a software engineer and I just got to get my butt in gear, or is there any like stimulus to say, man, I gotta change what I'm doing.
Yeah, there's just that general like low grade background. Oh, I should get in shape. And every now and then you do something about it and you're like, oh, what will I do? Like 2007 was running a little bit and ran a half marathon, ran the Danville half marathon. And then 2019, yeah, same sort of thing. Because in the fall of 2018, first time I got a fitness watch, started walking 10,000 steps a day, eating a little better. And yeah.
Yeah. What do you think kept you away for that big block of time before getting started? Was it just a kind of like got off the horse after that first stint and then just hard to get back, busy with school, et cetera.
I think I'm a pretty obsessive person. Not to say that I've got any particular whatever, but yeah, once I decide that I'm into something, I'm just going to kind of get focused by that. So I get distracted by whatever's going on. So yeah, 2007, rest of grad school happened. I
Gotcha.
picked up my PhD. Then I taught for a year. I was a mathematician, so I taught at Mary Baldwin, all places, taught there for a
Okay.
year.
Yeah.
And then, 2012, I'm suddenly a software engineer trying to figure out that. And, you kind of bounce around with that for a bit.
Yeah. So life. So, well, when you finally were like, okay, I did these two marathons and then let me go to this ex I mean that almost seems like a very natural progression. If you did the Pounding Creek and then Richmond, it's like, hey, you're ready to go. Actually, Promised Land is 34 miles, so now you're talking 8 more miles. But any other things that, I guess made you want to come out and do some of the CATS winter training runs?
I think the first Cats thing I came to was actually the Harry Landers. I think it was called Memorial that time since he didn't show up.
Yeah.
But that in, I showed up to that in 2019.
Okay,
So yeah,
Memorial Day, yeah.
that was pretty hilarious. Just like I know none of the Cats, and then Sophie pops up in front of everyone and tells the three stories of Harry Landers hurting
Yeah.
himself. I think that's the longest intro she's done to that event that I've seen. So it was just kind of hilarious to, so, and there were other things I'd done here and there. So I think I even knew about, like, as I was learning about marathoning, even in 2004, whenever I was trying to get into running, I think I knew that there were folks who ran ultras and I was interested in that. So yeah, it was just kind of this natural thing of train for a fall marathon. And then I knew that I was kind of like, I knew that the 50K training program was around, and I was like, is it going to happen again in 2020?
Yeah.
And
Well, I appreciate that. Like, I think you're also someone who didn't know anyone at first, and then it's like just showing up and very quickly, like you meet people, and whatever we have in common or don't have in common, if you're there, regularly, you're quickly gonna get to know some people and then you're gonna kind of stumble across some people that are a similar pace, and you quickly kind of, make some friends with the people that you spend a lot of the time on the trail with. So yeah.
Well, and the two groups do cross over because I met Deb and Kosti from the marathon training
Okay,
program.
yeah.
And so, like in February, I think I remember on some of the runs being like, oh, hey, Deb, where's Kosti? It's like, yeah, he's on the phone with some folks about whatever this, coronavirus thing is.
Right.
I'm like, okay, that's, yeah, that doesn't look so great in the news. And then, as you
Yeah.
already mentioned.
So do you remember, let's go back to, I want to take like the 2021 kind of 50K training and then leading up to Promised Land. Do you remember any either personal or like physical challenges that were like tricky? Like, did everything go perfect, Jim? Or were there some things that you had to kind of figure out and overcome during that training block to get to Promised Land?
Ooh, I have been really lucky in terms of like injuries. I think it's a combination of I'll tell you how I read your training program, because I've lost the ability to read carefully. So I really read everything you've written as go on these long runs, run during the week, and everything else is optional. And so, like all the speed work, like, hey, let's go do something crazy with hills. Like, I just wrote that out. So, this is really reinforcing. You said it a second ago. I do the bare minimum, and the other way that I would frame that is on a good day, I'll try to run as many miles during the week as I'll run on the weekend,
Sure.
so that ratio is not like upside down. That was kind of the other thing I was doing. So that's my way of pointing out that I wasn't like, I wasn't like hammering myself really hard. Like, I wasn't doing something crazy on a Wednesday where I'm like, oh, I need to go to the track and like do some do some intervals and stuff.
Yeah. Well,
And
I'm getting the point too that you I think you probably are embracing the power hiking. If you did the so well in the big virtual what's it called again? The Great Race Across Tennessee.
great virtual race across
Yeah,
Tennessee.
which Laz of the Barkley started, and that was a big thing. So many people signed up for it, and
20,000.
you logged on and logged your miles to literally run the same distance as if you were running across Tennessee, which has a significance for you living up in East Tennessee. But in terms of the walking and such, I mean that takes a lot of I think just kind of patience and almost like a Zen mentality. Like I always, when we had the running store, we would talk a lot about people getting into running, and like so many people, it's like, I'm just gonna force, 2 miles and 3 miles of running, and it's gonna suck and I'm gonna hate it. And it's like, nobody like walks 3 miles first, and walks 5 miles before doing that. So you're probably a very good walker, and did that just come into a lot of your trail running as far as power hiking up hills and such?
One of the things that I want to point out is I have actually read the directions. There's a book called Qi Running, by Danny Dreher. He's also got a book called Qi Walking. And literally that, after I read that for running, and that was whenever I was running more and more consistently than I am now, like that took some time off my pace and it definitely helped with walking. So, because no one, that there are so many things that people will tell you what to do when you're running or when you're walking. They won't tell you how to do it. And those books are the ones that I've seen that actually like would give you some sort of physical cue about how to do something, as opposed to just being like lean forward, like, okay, like there's some coaching where someone tells you to do something while you're running and you're like, okay, am I doing it? And it's like, that's not quite it. And there's a
Well,
little more.
and even more simply, I mean, this is a really basic concept that anyone who's, done a lot of trail running, it's like, yeah, we do walk a lot, but I think someone who's maybe just thinking about joining us and doing their first ultra or something, does need to realize, like, yeah, the mountains, okay, this is the beauty of a mountain race, is they offer, even if you're going really hard, walking breaks and all of that, changing up your muscles, walking uphill. I mean, it just really, really helps. My last hard marathon, oh, I was like injured. That was the hardest thing I've ever done, because it's the same exact repetition for
Just
26
repetitive.
miles. But breaking that up is good. So all right. So yeah, walking is good, and you are a pro.
Oh, what else
So
did I
okay.
want to say about walking? Oh, the other thing that I don't think people do. So I've got an entire body of advice that I need to write down at some point, because you've seen those pace charts
Yes.
where it's got like a million rows and like columns for every race distance. Do you know what they're doing there? Every one of those columns is just like 3% and 4% slower, like column to column. So, however fast you're going to run for a mile or a 5K, you're just going to slow down 3% to get to 10K, another 4% to get to your half marathon pace, and so on. And so, I can't remember if it's like 12, 15, 20% between your like a fast 5K pace and like your marathon pace. It's going to be like 15%. But you feel worse running a 5K if you're doing it right, I think, having never done it myself. Like that pace should hurt more, right?
Of course, yep. So,
So what else in this life does someone say you're going to try 15% harder and it's going to suck 10 times more?
oh yeah, yep. So, yeah, no,
And
I mean,
that's completely optional.
yep.
You can just slow down.
Yep, you can just slow down, and that's the goal. That's one of the things I think, as someone who's been doing it for a while and still try to be competitive, but pacing. And kind of figuring out the perfect effort where you can still have a lot of good energy late and then finish the race with nothing is really hard. It's so easy to go out early, and whether that's someone going out for their first time or competing, It's like so easy, and it always happens. And every time I'm racing, I'm wondering, okay, how many of these people that I'm with are going to be fading? And it's usually most, although people are getting faster and faster now. So,
Are they getting faster or are they just seeming faster?
it's probably both. It's probably both. So, well, okay, Jim, it's April, and it's 2021. I forget the date of that. It's 6 a.m. You're hanging out in the pavilion at the Promised Land Youth Camp. It's dark
No.
outside.
6 a.m. We're half up the mountain.
Oh
The
my gosh,
race
it
starts
is
at
at
5:30.
5:30. Oh my gosh, I was off by an hour. Okay, Jim, it's 5 a.m.
It's
You're at
5
the
a.m.
pavilion. It's dark. You're moseying around. You've gone to the bathroom. You're ready. This is your first 50K official. What's going through your head? Do you remember?
So in 2021, I think one of the things that we did we have to do we have waived starts even for Promised Land, or were we all together?
No, not in
No. I don't
I don't
think he
believe
did.
so in 2021.
I can't remember, but I wonder if there was anything that's spread us out. I'm trying to think of what was going through my head, because at that point I probably still was wearing like one of the heart rate monitors that's a chest strap and trying to keep my heart rate low. And so there's that combination of, because I haven't raced that much, right? Like I've run two marathons, a half marathon, some like random 5Ks. So I've still got that, like, get swept up with the crowd. Like as we're starting, I'm, heading up the hill, just trying to keep my heart rate low, seeing it's higher than I want to be, because I'm like going along with the crowd. Can't remember what else was going on, because
Well, do you remember any big challenges for that day, and any lows or any highs of your first official 50K at Promised Land?
so one of the things that does stick out for the first one, because I had no idea what to do for pacing. So I think I did pretty well holding back until the aid station at the bottom of Apple Orchard Falls. So, the only thing, if there's any part of this whole endeavor that I'm like decently quick at, from reading all the race reports, reading the advice, I was in and out of aid stations really quick. So once I knew that I was coming into that aid station, like there were people, back of the packers. So there were other people that were kind of walking to the aid station, and I'm like, oh crap, if I sprint past these guys, I can get what I need and get out. So I hit the aid station at Apple Orchard Falls, and this is one place where I'm going to take issue with your, because you've got a pretty long, nice write-up of the course, and
Of
I
the
need to write
course,
my
yeah.
own at some point. Because you're like, oh yeah, it's a 3 mile climb out of Apple Orchard Falls. So I take off and I am passing people. It feels great. About 2 miles in, whenever you've got that one guy's passing the next person, the person in front usually has that kind of like, let me know when you want to pass me. The next guy says that to me. And at that point, like, that was it. I couldn't catch him. It was the booster rocket coming back down. Because it is 3.5 miles, not three.
Three-ish,
Three,
right?
three, three ish. Three, three Horton miles.
No, it does go for a long way. So that was tricky. That hill does really challenge everybody. How about your legs on the way down? You remember turning into camp at the end of that long gravel road at the end of the race?
So the one of all the years, I think 2021 is the one whenever I actually could really like move on the gravel downhill. I
It is.
remember like, not that this would have been fast or slow for me one way or the other, but like I was running like 9:30s coming down the gravel road, and I was like pretty happy with that. And I was in that kind of like, huh, I'm surprised my legs are still going. And I'm like, come on, legs, let's go, let's go. There have been other years where I've basically like just been dead and like been doing 11, 12-minute miles down the gravel road, which is just sad.
Well, sounds like a great first year, and
Oh, it
also I
was.
think there's always like the newness and the novelty of that
Oh, that helps. That helps.
get you going pretty far. You know, there's only one first time for that, and I think that's always something that can take over a lot of the pain that you're feeling. So,
Oh, yeah.
well, and you've returned to Promised Land every year since then. Are there some things that have kind of kept you going to that race in particular, or just continue onward? I mean, is this now just like the routine and the fitness stuff? Is that race speaking to you more than other things that you could be doing?
So yeah, there's a few things. Again, in terms of silly things that I say to myself that make no sense to anyone else, I feel like running a marathon or ultra marathon should be like going to the dentist. You really should do it twice a year,
Sure.
because that'll just keep you out of so much trouble. Because if you try to train for 4 or 5 months before each event, that kind of gives you some time to get ready. You can, beg off for a month and then kind of get back into it. I really don't do well in the heat. So having an April race to train for is like perfect, because
Yeah.
then like I don't have to, it's not like let's get ready for a July race where you're trying to do a 20-mile long run in June. Although that might still be okay, but you're not.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to go through a cycle where you have something in the fall and you find yourself pressured to keep running in early August, and it's so tough. And it's hard, I think, a lot of people, to get motivated when it's really cold or it's icy or rainy, and you're doing the gravel road again because the trails are snowy. But boy, I think many people will take cold weather over the heat and humidity of Virginia any day. So.
Oh yeah. Well, the other thing that I've just seen is whenever we're out for a group run, unless it's ridiculously cold, I'm in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. I need gloves and a hat, but I'm pretty reliably wearing one layer less than everyone else. Just because I'm going to sweat. Like, my pack is going to be, covered in
Yeah.
sweat anyhow. So,
Well, there you were just made for winter training and
yes.
a spring race. That's great. What kinds of things would you share for someone just contemplating, let's say Promised Land in particular, for their first 50K local cats? Any things that have stuck to you from, going through this and going through this program year after year?
Ooh, are you thinking race specific things or just
I think more training. Yeah,
more
just
training?
like getting through, the 3 to 4 months of preparing.
Let's see. So I really do like walking during the week. So that's one of the things I think that has helped me is using that. I don't want to call it cross training, but maybe that's the best word
Okay,
for
what
it.
do you mean walking during the week? You're going out for a couple miles, or are you doing like a 10-mile walk?
Just, I mean, I get 10,000 steps a day, kind of, hell or high water. So that means, especially since I work from home, I need to really get outside, or I've got a treadmill now, but otherwise get outside for 3 or 4 miles. So if
Okay.
I'm not running, I still need to cover some distance.
Yeah.
The other thing, I mean, everyone has a different capacity for how much speed work and some of those things they can do.
Yep.
Because I can definitely think of folks who are better runners than me, who, we're going through one of these winter training blocks, and you look at the next guy and you're like, gee, this guy is faster than me, like better shape than me, so on. And as you're going along, you're like, oh, what happened to them? And it's like, well, they went David Goggins, and they decided they were going to run up and down Jarman's every week, every Wednesday on their own, and something got busted. Like, okay,
Yep.
well, I ran the damn race. They didn't. You see someone else that got injured, and it's just like just kind of make sure to stay within yourself. That would be one of the things I'd say.
Yeah, that is huge, and that's always something that I love that you're saying that. That's a perfect way to kind of start to wrap this up, because it's so easy to have pressure to follow training plan. I love writing in that training plan. Please don't follow this because you gotta listen to yourself, and you'll only know with experience, where that line is of going a little bit too far. But yeah, and I like, the walking is great too. I mean, it matters. I'm a big fan of hiking in the mountains. Some of my favorite trails are, these really steep climbs that there's no running and it's just hiking, and maybe like running down slowly. But I think there's really a lot of power in that, getting you ready, and it's just kind of easier on your body. So that's great. Tell me a little bit about you signed up for the Mountain Masochist 50 miler in November, and it was a DNF. It was a drop. I just want to hear a little bit about that, and was that a timeout issue? Was there a training or preparation issue? And any thoughts you have of something that didn't go the way you probably hoped it would have?
So if we rewind a year to kind of this time, I've always been interested, and it's appropriate that you're wearing, for those of you listening, Jimmy Rhodes is proudly showing off a jacket from the Lynchburg Ultra Series, which is about running 350Ks in the winter and then Mountain Masochist. So about this time last year, I was like, hey, I've always been interested in the LUS. Can I just do it? And I just, basically, I can't remember how close I was to Holiday Lake, but I just signed up for Holiday Lake and just did the three. And so then I need to do Masochist. And I did, since 2020, I've basically been running less year over year. And that is not a recipe to succeed at a 50 miler. So I had severe trouble running in the heat this summer. I almost feel like I should have a new rule where I'm like, I'm only going to go out for 2 hours any more than that, because there were some runs that were much longer where I think we should have a new phrase, if you're not already using it, for the gym, called heat sadness. I
Eat
was
sadness.
heat sad. And then my fall leading into Masochist was I finished the gym this year, height of my ultra running career.
Yes, congratulations. That's in August, early August.
I tested positive for COVID the very next day. And at the end of the month, I ran the Iron Mountain 40 miler. So I had signed up for both of those, and I also jumped in with a friend to run rim to rim at the Grand Canyon. And so I kind of had this like really broken up, hard to recover from, at least for me, lead up. So Masochist, I got back to the loop aid station at mile 39, half an hour too slow. I came into that aid station and I needed to do that loop in 90 minutes, which, I basically like blew past all the folks at the aid station, because I knew it was going to be close. And I didn't, since some of the distances were a little loose there, I'm like, maybe it's only 5 miles. Maybe I'll be okay. And then,
And then,
yeah,
Jim, was
it
your
was
life
over.
over when you DNF'd Mount Mascus, when you DNF'd a race? Did you still have to go to work the next day or the next
I
Monday?
did not have to go to work the next day because I don't work on Sundays.
The Monday, Monday.
Monday. I can't remember if I took Monday off. It definitely, my life wasn't over. I don't know if what I'm about to say was completely psychosomatic or if it was actually physiological, but I don't feel like I recovered terribly well after that. And I think I was probably a grouchier person, and less able to handle bullshit at work.
Yeah. Well, it's
So,
funny too, I'll go back and say what you just said earlier about staying within yourself for like the promised land, and then you're looking like, okay, you did the gym in early August, which is 5 laps of Jarmans in the heat. It starts at noon. It is very, very, very hard. Like, no matter if you're going easy or you're trying hard. And then Iron Mountain and then rim to rim and then recovering from all of those. So that's a good example too of like how you can get into trouble. And it's life. It's like sometimes you do that and it's a lot of fun, but it can definitely get you into your race day, maybe not quite where you wanted to be. Well, I hope you'll come back to Mountain Mascis, because that's a cool race in this area that's been around. I forget what year we're on. I think we're coming up on like over 35 or something. It's been around for so long, and the course has changed a bit, but I think the course right now is better than it's ever been. And it's such a wonderful time of year. Really, Promised Land in the spring and Mountain Mascis in the fall. Like, I just want every ultra runner to do those two races because they have such a history and they have such a great hangout if you're lucky to get some good weather like we had this year. So, but yeah. Well, listen, Jim, I really appreciate you just sharing a little bit of your story. And I know that we'll be hearing more from you on Wednesdays or Thursdays when you're sending out the info for the group runs, and we'll see you all. I'll hopefully join for some Saturday runs as well, and then may we all meet up at the Promised Land Youth Camp on April 26th.
Yeah, that's the plan. Thanks for having me on your. Should it be called a nano or a micro podcast?
You just blew my mind. Your software engineer mind is just taking me to places that I'm unfamiliar. So, but no, thanks again for giving the time and for what you're doing with the show. I think just I mean with the show, with the training program. Just one more special thing I think about the cats is we really seem to grab people and get you put to work. So you're a good example of someone who's been really, a part of the community from showing up, but also helping out a lot. So, and I think we, again, I tell people this all the time, we just have such a special community here with the cats. So, those of you who don't know anything about trail running or anything, this is a really nice community to get into. So, dip your toes in. I don't care if you know anybody or not. If you're worried about your pace, Jim will be there at the back of the pack holding strong. And we will see you out there.
And in terms of community, the Tuesday and Thursday runs are also great ways to meet
Yes.
folks. So,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
the just to say a little bit about the training program, we have both a 25K and a 50K training program, and sometimes they'll run together, sometimes they'll be a little bit separate. The 25K is getting folks ready for Naked Creek,
Yep,
so it's
that's in March. Yep, so.
not all about ultras, and whenever. Because the other thing that I'm completely impressed by is that I can stand in a parking lot with some sort of words of invocation, tell people we're going to go run up a mountain. And since they're all faster than me, they're not going to necessarily ever see me again.
Love
So it's not, everyone can make their own decisions. So if someone wants to come out and join us for 10 miles instead of 20, you can figure out how to make that happen. Get in touch with me or other folks ahead of time, and we can
Well, hey,
suggest a route.
we got 1 minute left. Where are we going Saturday?
Oh, where are we going Saturday? Okay, so in the background, Walt has been talking to Rick Kotowski, who runs one of the other interesting events that we
Wykowski. Yep. Yep.
had. And it's Andy's Backyard Ultra, which
Okay.
is run at the,
Teven
how do you say
Trails.
it? Yep.
Yep. All right, great. So
And
we'll be meeting at Teven Trails for some nice, beautiful trail loopage there. And yeah, Jim, you'll send out links to the distance and the location and all that stuff
you got it.
sometime this
Walter or
week.
I will
Okay.
send that out this week.
That's it. Okay, great. Well, we're just about out of time. Again, thanks so much. And
Cool.
we'll see y'all next time, okay?
Cool. Thanks, John.
Take care. Yep, appreciate it. Bye-bye. See you.
Bye.
I just bought me this new
Time.